We present Graham Crowden as Austin Ruthin and Teresa Gallagher as his daughter Maud in Uncle Silas by Sheridan Lefanu.
She won't understand. No, she won't, will she?
It was the year 1864, a bleak November evening.
They are easily frightened. Aye, they are.
I had just turned my 17th birthday.
I had better do it another way. Another way, yes. And she'll not suspect. She'll not suppose.
My father had summoned me to his study.
You remark how solitary we live.
Sir?
You fancy perhaps I have no friend. You are nearly right. Nearly, but not altogether.
Sir?
I have a very sure friend. One, a friend whom I once misunderstood, but now appreciate.
I'm glad to hear it, sir.
Glad to hear it. She is glad to hear it. He'll make me a call someday soon. I'm not quite sure when.
How shall I know it?
I won't tell you his name. You'll hear that soon enough. I don't want it talked of.
Sir?
I must make a little journey with him.
What kind of journey?
I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. I must not say no. You'll not be afraid being left alone for a while.
Have you promised, sir?
Promised? No, child. I'm under condition. He's not to be denied. I have no choice, Maud. But, on the whole, I rather like it. I rather like it.
Sir?
See, child, remember this key.
The key, sir?
It opens this. You won't forget this cabinet. Oak, near the door. You won't forget.
Why... Sir, you're hurting.
Pity she's a girl. Aye, a girl, and so young. No sense. Giddy. Say you'll remember.
I'll remember.
It behoves you.
You're hurting.
I did not mean... You will tell nobody what I have said.
Oh, no, sir.
Except under one contingency. If I should be absent and a Dr. Brierly... Repeat the name.
Dr. Brierly.
If he should come and inquire for the key and what it opens... You show all to him. You show all to him and no one else.
But when he comes, you will be absent.
That is so.
Then how shall I find the key?
When I sleep, the key is under my pillow. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
And when I am awake, it is always here, in my pocket.
But you will be absent.
Always here, in my pocket.
You must not judge my father by his manner. My mother had died when I was 9, and as a result he had largely withdrawn from society, immersing himself in his own company. Yet underneath he was the gentlest and kindest of men.
How long is it since Miss Ellison left us?
6 months, sir.
This won't do. Too long without a teacher.
Yes, sir.
Your French is pretty well, and you're Italian, but I fear they grow rusty.
I have tried to keep in practice.
Your music may be pretty good, I'm no judge of that, but your drawing might be better.
I fear you are correct.
I believe there are accomplished ladies, finishing governesses, they call them. They undertake more than any teacher could in my time, and do very well. You shall have one. She will prepare you, and then you shall visit France and Italy. There you may be as accomplished as you please.
Thank you, sir.
My brother has suggested...
Uncle Silas, you have been in communication with him?
It is no matter. You shall have a finishing governess.
Uncle Silas. Some time previously, I had been looking at some portraits in the Long Gallery. Is this not Uncle Silas?
Yes, dear.
He must be a very handsome man.
Oh, he was, my dear, yes. But it's 40 years since that was painted. 40 years, I can tell you, makes a change in the best of us.
Why is Papa always so sad about Uncle Silas?
Is he sad?
Well, I have seen him, sir.
Maybe he has reason.
Mrs. Rusk?
Yes, dear?
Have you met my uncle?
Many years ago.
What was he like?
What's this, child?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you were there.
I'm sure I meant no
harm. No harm, child. No harm. Your uncle is a man of great talents, great faults, and great wrongs. His talents have not availed him. His faults are long ago repented of, and his wrongs, I believe, he feels less than I do. But they are deep. They are deep. Mrs. Rusk.
Sir?
Have you told my daughter any more than this?
Not even this, sir.
Maud, you should think more of the present.
Should I, sir?
Clear your head of Uncle Silas. One day, perhaps, you will know him and how villains have wronged him.
But I could not clear my head of Uncle Silas. However, from that day, neither Mrs. Rusk nor any other of the household would speak of him. Towards the middle of that November, I chanced upon Mrs. Rusk carrying fresh bedding.
Is someone coming to stay?
Yes, dear.
Is it someone I know?
Oh, I should doubt it. He's to have dinner with your father and may stay for some days.
You sound as if you disapprove of him.
It's not for me to approve or disapprove. Dr. Brierly.
Dr. Brierly?
You do know him.
I am not acquainted with him. When does Dr. Brierly arrive?
This afternoon.
He's here, isn't he?
He's with your father in his study.
I should like to see him.
What's come over you, dear?
I would like to.
You will in time.
I would like to see him now. I must confess, I am impatient.
Oh, what's got into you? Oh, here's a carafe of water. See if the one in your father's study needs replenishing.
Thank you, Mrs. Rusk. As I walked down the passage, I wondered what sort of man I was about to meet.
I strongly advise you against this course of action. My mind is made up.
My father and Dr. Brierly were arguing.
I must insist. My mind is made up.
I hesitated, moved closer, and listened.
What you are proposing is folly.
It is a public statement of trust.
It could so easily rebound against...
It is the good name of the family. Come in.
I wondered, sir, if you needed water.
That is very thoughtful of you, child, but no, we do not require water.
This is your daughter, Maud?
This is my daughter, Maud.
I look forward to making your acquaintance.
I look forward to making yours, sir.
Now, leave us. We have business to discuss.
Yes, sir.
You cannot be prepared to sacrifice your own...
I must ask you not to comment on what you do not understand.
Dr. Brierly departed the next day, but my state of perturbation remained.
You cannot be prepared to sacrifice your only...
My somewhat ancient maid, Mary Quince, whose bed was in my room, could not help but notice my mood.
Is anything the matter?
Nothing, Mary.
You're awake.
Yes, Mary.
And have been off and on these last few nights.
I hope I have not prevented you from sleeping.
Tell me what it is.
It is nothing. I have a sense of unease.
What kind of unease?
As if something were about to happen.
What kind of thing?
I can't tell.
It is nothing.
It doesn't feel as if...
Let's talk a little. Then you'll see that it is nothing. What do you want to talk about?
Anything, anything.
Oh, go on, then.
Have you heard of Rachel Ruffin?
I cannot recall her.
She was a daughter of the house in Queen Anne's time.
Oh, I think I have some...
They say she walks the passages at night. The click, click, click of her shoes on the floor. The rustle of her skirts and a broken sigh.
The girl's been dead this 150 years.
You do know about her. Let us see if we can hear.
Miss Maud.
You stay in bed.
You're frightening me.
I shall open the door. Listen.
You'll catch cold.
You made me jump.
You're young, you're... pray to Francis.
I'm being foolish.
Close the door and get back in your bed.
Yes, Mary.
What is it?
Listen.
Close the door. Close the door. It's gone.
I shall open the door.
No, don't.
Nothing. Nobody.
Good morning, child.
Good morning, sir.
You will recall I mentioned a finishing governess.
Yes, sir.
She has been engaged. She arrived here at Knowle last evening. I am allowing her today to settle in, and she will commence her duties tomorrow morning. You will be in the schoolroom at 9 o'clock sharp.
Yes, sir.
She is called Madame de la Rougière.
Will I like her as much as Miss Ellerton?
You must like people for what they are, and not how they compare to others.
And what are you called? What is Mademoiselle's name?
Maud, Madame.
Maud. What a pretty name. I am very sure my dear Maud will be a very good little girl. I am also very sure we will come to like each other very much.
I very much hope so, Madame.
And what have you been learning, my dear child? Music, French, Italian, eh?
Yes, a little. I had just begun the use of the globes when Miss Ellerton went away.
Oh, yes, the globes. Observe how they rotate. Je vous expliquerai tout cela au fond.
However, explaining was not one of Madame's strengths.
No, no, no!
Perhaps if you were to go over it again...
What is the point? Why should I bother? You are just stupid, stupid, and that is the end of it.
I'm sorry, Madame, if I could...
A stupid little child. There now. You have upset your dear Madame. No matter. She forgives you.
We gradually became acquainted.
Good morning, my dear child.
Good morning, Madame.
I hope you have not been waiting for long.
I've been reading.
I hope it was instructive.
Are you unwell?
I am fatigued. I also have stomach pains.
I could get Branston to send to the village for the...
It is an old trouble. I have asked my dear friend, Mrs. Rusk, to fetch me the remedy. So, what have you been reading?
History, Madame.
History is always instructive. We have not touched on it yet. How far have you got? The history of your country is so interesting.
Henry V, Madame. Perhaps you could tell me...
No, dear child, I'm sure the book is far more... Oh, Mrs. Rusk.
Madame.
You have brought the medicine.
I have indeed.
Well?
Here are some soothing pills and a mustard plaster. I would advise you to take the first and apply the second.
That is not what I requested.
I have found them a sovereign remedy against stomach pains.
I know what is good for me.
I am not bringing you brandy.
And why not? I have requested it.
I do not serve liquor to domestics.
It was Madame's responsibility to see I took daily exercise in the grounds.
This way, my dear Maud.
I don't wish to go into the wood, Madame.
And why is that?
Mama is buried there.
That is where the vault is?
Yes.
What a curious reason. Your dear mother is buried there, therefore you do not wish to approach it. Whatever would Monsieur Routin say?
I mean, I would rather go there by myself.
I have a taste for the company of the dead. I feel comfortable in their presence. Un goût bizarre, vraiment. Come, let us go. It's only part of the way. How noble. How sad. My dear child, do read me the inscription.
Hic jacet Elizabeth Huntercombe, 1822 to 1856. Dearly beloved wife of Austin and mother of Maud, she has gone before to show the way.
Such admirable sentiments.
Madame, you are mocking me.
How many Routins must be buried here within this temple? Tell me, do you think your house of Knowle is haunted?
What makes you ask that?
The servants say...
The servants will say.
Have you seen a ghost yourself? I have. I saw one last night. It was shaped like a monkey, sitting in a corner with its arms round its knees. It had the face of an old man, a very wicked old man, and its eyes gleamed like this.
You are trying to frighten me.
Let us talk of something else.
Yes, that.
What a good man your father is.
The kindest darling. I don't know why it is, madame. I can never tell him how much I love him.
Was there not a doctor with him just before I arrived?
Yes, Dr. Briley. Shall we go back towards the house?
Does your father suffer much?
Suffer? No, I think not.
Then what is his disease?
He has no disease. Madame, have you heard...
But surely if a doctor comes...
I think Dr. Briley is a doctor of theology. He is a Swedenborgian.
Swedenborgian. Your father is much taken with Swedenborgianism. It is unusual for a man as old as your father to have a child as young as you.
Madame, I do not think that...
Has he made his will, my dear? A man as old, as rich as he, ought to have made his will.
There's no need of haste, madame.
Has he really not made his will?
I really don't know.
You are teasing me, you little rogue. You pretend you know nothing. Tell me all about it. What does his will say?
Madame, I don't even know if there is one.
What is he frightened of? Does Monsieur Routin think signing his will brings him, letter by letter, closer to the grave? If he has not made one, you could lose a lot of property.
If Papa has made a will, he has never spoken of it to me. I know he loves me. That is enough.
Come, come, you little goose. If you won't tell, I'll break your little finger.
Oh, madame, you're being childish.
Break your little finger like this twig, like this. Tell. So, tell me.
Oh, yes, yes, I'll tell. Let me go.
So, you're going to be a good child and tell your affectionate governess everything.
No. No, I won't. You can't make me.
Why, you little...
You hurt me. You've broken my finger.
Nonsense, rub it and blow it and give it a little kiss.
I shall inform my father.
What a stupid child. I will never play a game with it again. Never.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, Maud. It is a serious matter.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Earlier this morning, I was visited by Madame de la Rosière. She had come to borrow some works by Swedenborg.
I did not know she was religiously inclined.
It does not suit you to be impertinent.
No, sir.
I asked her as to your progress. I asked her, pray mark that. She did not volunteer the subject.
I trust her report was favorable.
It was not.
Of what was she complaining?
I think you know.
I do not.
I find that rather hard to credit.
If you wish to take her word rather than mine...
I find your manner confirms what Madame was saying.
I would ask you, sir, to detail her accusations.
I do not wish to be drawn into discussing details.
I must protest. I, too, have...
You ought not to give Madame so much pain. She is one of the few persons who takes an interest in you. Why should she be subject to your ill temper and disobedience? Why should she be compelled to ask my permission to punish you? Oh, don't be afraid, I won't concede that. However, it argues much she felt compelled to ask. Affection I cannot command, respect and obedience I may, and I insist on you rendering both to Madame. You look as though you are about to cry.
I am not, sir.
There, there, little Maud. Enough. Come here. There is no need to be upset. Only let us do better in the future.
One day, Madame proposed a longer walk than usual, out of the grounds, to Church Scarsdale.
But why Church Scarsdale?
It is such a pretty name.
It is not a pretty place, madame. Nobody lives there, and the church is in ruins.
Then I shall like it the better.
I can suggest far pleasanter...
We will go there. I insist.
There is the church, on the other side.
As you said, it is in ruins. And look at the graves.
I do not like this place.
How many of them are there?
I do not intend to stand here counting tombstones.
Then let us go amongst
them. No!
Let us lie between them half an hour. You know my pleasure in these things.
It is unhealthy.
Come with me, dear child. Dear, dear child.
I don't understand your insistence.
My insistence?
I will stay here. You may go if you wish.
Very well. I will go by myself. I will not be long. You will stay here.
Yes, I will.
You will not move. I should hate to lose you. You will stay here.
It began to grow dark.
I say, miss, no offence. Have you seen a glove close by here?
A glove?
I was here earlier and I dropped a glove. Might you have seen it?
No, sir.
No offence, miss, but you sure you didn't hide it?
I should like you to leave me, sir.
Don't be frightened, miss. It's only a bit of chaff. I'm not going to search you.
Madame! Madame!
Madame! Madame! Oh, my, you are agitated. Madame! Madame! Oi! Madame! She's earned that or she's deaf as a tombstone. Now, give her my compliments and say I said you're a beauty, miss.
There was nothing to be frightened of. He was just passing.
Possibly.
Doesn't your madame always know best?
Probably.
Eh bien. There is a lady coming tomorrow, is there not?
Lady Knollys.
Lady Knollys? What an odd name. She's very young, is she not?
Past 50, I think.
She is very old, then. Is she rich?
I don't know. She has a place in Derbyshire.
And is she your relation?
Papa's first cousin.
And for how long, dear, will Lady Knollys remain?
A very few days, I believe.
I would so like to be presented to her.
I have no doubt you will.
But alas, I have a pain in my ear. I can feel it growing. I know it will get worse. I may have to forego the pleasure.
My young cousin. You know who I am? Your cousin Monica. Monica Knollys. And very glad, dear, to see you. I haven't set eyes on you since you were no bigger than that paper knife.
I am very glad to meet you, Lady Knollys.
Oh, what a serious little body. Now turn towards the light, for I must look at you. Well, Austin.
Yes, Monica?
Now let me see.
I'd rather stay here.
Don't be shy, my dear. Let me see. Ha! Upon my life. Something of your mother and not a bit like you, Austin.
So much the better, Monica, eh?
Cousin,
No, your papa was and will be ugly all his days. But those eyes, the true grey, large, deep, soft, very peculiar. Just like her mother, eh, Austin?
Yes, Monica, I had observed.
My father retired to his study, leaving my cousin and me alone.
Come here, my dear. And tell me how you and your papa get on. I can remember him quite a cheerful man once, and now you see how he is, all by shutting himself up and nursing his whims and fancies.
Cousin?
Monica?
Monica, I don't think it's proper talking about...
You know, my dear, your father is an oddity. I don't mind him, I never did. You must not. Cracky, my dear. Cracky, decidedly cracky. Oh, I see, I alarm you. I'll change the subject. Do you have anyone looking after you?
Oh, yes. I have a governess, a Frenchwoman, a Madame de la Rougière.
And who sent her?
I really don't know. Papa tells me so little. He arranged it all himself, I think, although he did mention my uncle.
Your Uncle Silas?
Yes, that's right.
Your Uncle Silas sent this Frenchwoman?
I don't know. I couldn't ascertain.
And what does she do, this Madame de la Rougière? Come, let us visit Madame. I should so like to talk to her a little.
But she is ill.
Ill, is she? What's the matter?
The earache, she says.
The earache? Is she up or in her bed?
In her room, but not in bed.
Pain in her ear, you say? Poor thing. Well, dear, I think I can cure that in 5 minutes. I have it myself now and then. Come to my room, and we'll get the bottles.
We'll come in, please, and see you. I've some remedies which I'm sure will do you good.
Perhaps she's asleep.
Madame, it is more than Lady Dolly's. We have come to relieve your ear. Pray, let me see it. She can't be asleep. She's holding the clothes so fast over her head.
Je suis fatiguée.
Do pray allow me to see it.
What?
Maud, the covers.
Oh,
so, this is Madame de la Rougière. Mademoiselle, you have married, it seems, since last I had the honor of seeing you.
Yes, I am married. Very respectably married for a person of my rank. I shall not need to be a governess for long.
I suppose you have explained everything satisfactorily to Mr. Ruffin.
I fail to see I should explain a marriage.
That is not what I meant.
There is nothing to explain. I am ready to answer any questions. Let him demand me.
Very good, mademoiselle.
Madame, if you please.
Madame, yes. I shall inform him of my suspicions concerning you.
Suspicions?
So far as I can see, mademoiselle, your ear doesn't seem to trouble you now.
Malady is a physic in itself. I am only a poor governess, and such people ought not to have pain.
Come, Maud, let us leave the invalid to her repose. I don't think she needs my chloroform and opium at the moment.
Her room smells of brandy, my dear. Does she drink?
What?
Oh, you look amazed. Such things are known to happen. How long have you had that woman?
A little over 6 weeks.
And what sort of person is she? Do you like her?
Very well. That is, pretty well. You won't tell. I'm sure she doesn't intend it, but she rather frightens me.
She does not beat you?
No.
She does not threaten you?
Well, no. No, she does not threaten.
Then how the plague does she frighten you, child?
Well, I really... I'm half ashamed to tell you. You'll laugh at me, but... there is something... she said not something, you know, ghosty about her.
Ghosty, is there? Well, I'm sure I don't know, but I suspect there's something devilish.
You knew Madame before. Who is she?
She assures me she is Madame de la Rougière, and I suppose she has every right to do so. I do remember her face, and I don't very much like it. And you may depend upon it, I will speak to your father about her, and don't, darling, ask me any more about her, for I have really not very much to tell you that you will care to hear, and the fact is, I won't say any more about her. There. Come in.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Some tea, ma'am.
And who is this?
It's Mary Quince.
Mary Quince?
Yes, ma'am.
You wait on my little cousin, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Put it down.
Thank you, ma'am.
Does anyone sleep in her room?
Yes, I please, my lady.
And no one else?
No, ma'am.
Not even the governess sometimes?
Oh, no, please, my lady.
Never, you are quite sure?
Oh, no, never.
Thank you, Maud. I like your face, Mary Quince. I'm very glad, Maud, you have got her. So, ghosties and goblins, eh? Well, if I were you, Maud, I know what I would do. So soon as I and good Mary Quince had got into my bedchamber for the night, I should stir the fire into a good blaze and bolt the door.
You are not suggesting that...
Do you hear, Mary Quince? Bolt the door and keep the candle lighted all night. You be very attentive to her, Mary Quince, and I shall be sending a little Christmas box to my cousin, and I shan't forget you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You may go. Now, let us think of more pleasant things. Let us pour the tea.
That evening, my cousin asked to see the portrait of Uncle Silas in the Long Gallery.
This was 40 years ago.
So manly. They're so slender and so handsome, too. I always think him a hero and a mystery. They won't tell me about him, so I can only dream and wonder.
A mystery but no hero, my dear Maud. I don't know what to make of him. He is a sort of idol of your father's. His abilities were singular, as were his misfortunes.
Tell me.
Your Uncle Silas, you know, is living.
Oh, yes, at Bartram Howe in Derbyshire.
You know how rich your father is. Silas was the younger brother and had little more than £1,000 a year. He was fond of his pleasures, I suppose. I believe he was really a most expensive and vicious young man. I fancy he does not deny that now, for they say he would change the past if he could. Austin, your papa, was very kind to Silas and paid a great number of his debts. However, he never forgave your uncle his marriage. Your father, I suppose, knew more about the lady than I did, but there were various reports, none of them pleasant, and she was not visited. There was a complete estrangement between Austin and Silas, but it was made up, rather oddly, on the very occasion that ought to have totally separated them.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Did you ever hear anything remarkable about your uncle?
No, never. No one would tell me the slightest thing.
It has to be acknowledged, your Uncle Silas was suspected of committing a murder.
Of course, Uncle Silas, of course he's innocent.
Of course, my dear. But there are some things it is almost as bad to be suspected of as actually to have done. Your papa, you know, is very proud of your family. He never had the slightest suspicion of your uncle.
Oh, no.
He tried to get redress through the courts, but was advised against it. He also tried to use his political influence to clear his brother's name, but to no avail. Indeed, his lack of success is one of the main reasons for his withdrawal from society.
And Uncle Silas?
Your father made him an additional annuity of £500... and allows him to live at Bartram Howe, which is part of your father's estate. They say it has become very wild and neglected.
You live in the same county. Have you seen it lately, Cousin Monica?
No, not lately.
The next morning, Madame was not in the schoolroom. I went up to her room and was about to knock on her door.
What do you mean, dear child, standing with your hand in the air?
Good morning, Madame.
Why could not Lady Knollys come herself to listen at the keyhole? What is there to conceal? Nothing. Enter, if you please. Everyone is welcome. It is Liberty Hall.
I did not come, Madame, to pry or intrude.
But did she not send you, Doucement, so quiet at my door? She is my enemy. Without cause, but my enemy. She has tried to injure me on several occasions and uses the most innocent person, my dear, to further her malice.
Lady Knollys is Papa's cousin.
Et comment va monsieur votre père aujourd'hui?
Très bien, merci.
I will go to speak to him. I will endure her torment no longer.
I ought to have heard of this before, madame.
I am sorry, monsieur.
Not that it would have made any difference. Not the least. Mark that.
Thank you, monsieur.
But it was the kind of thing I ought to have heard, and the omission was not strictly right. Come in. What do you want, child?
Only that I was waiting in the schoolroom for madame and did not know where she was.
Well, she is here, as you see, and will join you upstairs in the schoolroom in a few moments.
Yes, sir.
But you did know where I was, dear child. I told you.
That evening I was playing the piano. My father and cousin assumed I could not hear them.
Yes, Lady Knollys, there is an animus.
An animus?
I know the spirit you speak in. It does you no honor.
And I know the spirit you speak in, the spirit of madness. Are you blind?
You are, Monica. Your unnatural prejudices blind you.
It is surely clear to the merest...
What is all this? Nothing. Were I to act as you say, I should be a coward and a traitor.
There should be no halting here. How can you? Do you ever think? I feel as if the evil one were in the house. You, You open your door in the dark and invoke unknown danger. How can you look at that child? She is... Stop playing.
Perhaps, Monica, you would come to the study. I thank you for your concern, but you must see things more rationally, and I think you will.
We will come back.
Monica!
Where is Papa?
He has remained in his study. I'm going in the morning.
So soon?
Yes, dear. I could not stay. In fact, I should have gone tonight, but it was too late.
I am so sorry.
So am I, dear Maud. Your papa and I, we've had a quarrel. I must say a word to you before I go, and it is this. You must cease to be a mere child and try to be a woman.
What do you mean?
That creature, what does she call herself, Rougier? I have reason to believe is... must be your enemy. You will find her deep, daring, and unscrupulous. You cannot be too much on your guard. Do you quite understand me, Maud?
I do.
You must hold your tongue, govern your conduct, and command even your features. Try and be in appearance just as usual. If you happen to know anything of your father's business, tell her nothing. Observe everything, disclose nothing. Do you see?
I do.
You have good, honest servants about you, thank God. They don't like her. Write to me whenever you wish. If I can be of any real use, I don't care. I'll come. Do you understand me?
Yes, Cousin Monica, I do.
And Maud, don't let her tamper with your food.
I took Cousin Monica's words to heart. However, Madame's behaviour gave no cause for alarm. Then one morning, towards the end of January, I was in my room preparing to go for a walk.
Come in. Miss Maud, is it not too far for you? It's a long walk to Church Scarsdale and the weather is still bitter.
Church Scarsdale? I'm not going to Church Scarsdale. Who said I was going to Church Scarsdale?
Madame's been downstairs at me for fruit and sandwiches, telling me you were longing to go to Church Scarsdale.
It's quite untrue. She knows I hate it.
She does she? Now, what may she be after?
I can't tell, but I won't go.
We walked in the grounds.
What is that carriage doing?
How should I know, dear child?
Ask them, madame, whether they want to go to the house. I dare say they've missed their way.
Then they can find it again. I do not intend to talk to strangers.
Do you want to reach the house?
No, thank you, miss. It's what they call a picnic. We'll be taking the road now.
Come, enough of this nonsense.
This is private property. You have no permission to
Hello,
be...
Hello, how's this?
What a weird...
Sorry to startle you, ladies. Creeping up on you.
Yeah, we're just in time, eh? 5 more minutes and we've been off.
Thanks, Mrs. Mouser, for the honour of this meeting.
Mrs. Mouser is not my name.
And in particular for making the acquaintance of the young lady, niece, ma'am, daughter, granddaughter, by Jove.
We have no time.
Boy, a couple of glasses and a bottle of curacao.
I'm not your boy.
This is Lord Lollipop, regular charmer, won't hurt a fly.
Yes, pleased to make your acquaintance.
And I'm Sir Simon Sugarstick. I'm sweet all through.
Tell them I'm Miss Ruffin. Tell them.
Be quiet. You're tipsy. Leave me to speak. Pray, gentlemen, what do you want? Will you have the goodness to permit us to go on?
No, we will not have the goodness to permit you to go on.
Him.
What do you mean?
The man at Church Scarsdale.
No.
Let's run.
Calm yourself.
I'll tell you what, we've caught you now. Fair game. And we'll let you off on condition. Now, what should the condition be, Lolly, old boy?
The condition should be... The condition should be that you step into the carriage over there and take a glass of curacao just with us.
Well, that's easy for you. We'll all have a glass in the carriage and so part friends. Is it a bargain?
Yes, Maud, we must go with him.
You won't let us down.
What does it matter?
I shan't.
You're coming with us.
Don't touch me.
Alice!
But let me go!
You fool, Maud.
I've got it.
All do as they say.
Help! Help!
Quiet. Now, let them back.
They won't hurt.
What's going on over there?
Over here! Help!
Gamekeepers!
More than one of them. Come on.
Over here!
Osaku! Osaku!
They're getting away!
away.
What a little fool you were. You were quite safe with me, but no, you would scream and shove, and the impudence and violence followed. You are a stupid, stupid fool.
Mary Quince, are you there?
Yes, Miss Maud.
Did you hear what she said?
She isn't worth thinking about.
Do you think she knew?
Knew what, Miss Maud?
Do you think Madame knew of those dreadful people? Why did she say we were going to Church Scarsdale? Tell me she didn't know. Tell me she didn't. I couldn't bear it if she did. That night I could not sleep. The events of the day had given me a feeling of impending crisis. Mary, are you awake? Mary. Silently, I opened the door and followed the noise. It was Madame.
It must be. It must be in here, in the study. In the desk.
Yes,
the desk. Yes.
Oh, sir, you don't know what a dreadful person we have living with us. Madame de la Rogière, I mean. Don't let her in if she comes. She would guess that I'm telling you, and one way or another, I am sure she would kill me.
That child. You know that's nonsense.
But I saw it, Papa. She stole your key last night and opened your desk and went through your papers.
Stole my key? Stole it? Why, here it is.
She unlocked your desk. She searched through it. She was looking for something. Open it now and see whether your papers have not been stirred.
Did she remove anything?
No.
You're a good girl, Maud. You have not been very happy with Madame de la Rougierre. It is time you were relieved. This occurrence decides it. She will be here in a moment. I had asked to interview her further about what happened yesterday.
I can't face her.
There is no need to be frightened. Act discreetly. Sit and say nothing. Come in.
Good morning, Monsieur Routin.
Good morning, Madame.
Good morning, Maud.
Madame de la Rougierre, I have to request you to give me the key, now in your possession, which unlocks this desk of mine.
I cannot comprehend, Monsieur Routin, unless you intend to insult me.
It won't do, Madame. I must have that false key.
But who dares to say I possess such a thing?
You know, Madame, you can rely on what I say. I tell you, you were seen last night visiting this room with a key in your possession, opening this desk and going through the papers contained in it. If you will forthwith give me that key and any other false keys in your possession, I shall content myself with dismissing you summarily. If you do not, I shall take a different course. You know I am a magistrate. I shall have you, your boxes and your places upstairs searched, and I will prosecute you criminally. The thing is clear. You aggravate by denying. You must give me that key instantly, otherwise I ring this bell.
I will do anything, Monsieur Routin. Whatever you wish.
Thank you. You shall have an hour and a half to prepare in. You must then be ready to depart.
I had no desire to make final fond farewells with Madame, so I went for a walk. La 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 la.
So, always frightened, Maud, and with reason. I do not think I do not realize all I have to thank you for. I am to go to London first and abroad, but be sure, my sweetest Maud, wherever I may be, I shall remember you.
I have nothing to say to you.
And although I shall not always be near, I shall know everything about my dearest child, and you won't know how.
Leave me.
The carriage is waiting at the yew tree stile. You did not expect to see me here. I will appear, perhaps suddenly, another time. Farewell, my dearest little Maud. I will never cease to think of you.
and you, I think, will never cease to think of me.
You have more interest now than I have in vindicating his character.
Whose character, sir? My father often assumed I would know what he was thinking about, although he had given no sign.
Who? Your Uncle Silas. In the course of nature, he must survive me. He'll represent the family name. Would you make some sacrifice to clear that name, Maud?
You have no need to ask, sir. It was now early March in the year 1865.
Your Uncle Silas lies under an intolerable slander. He has grown religious, and that's well, but he bears it with an apathy that is mistaken. The character and influence of an ancient family are a peculiar heritage, sacred but destructible, and woe to him who either destroys or suffers it to perish. Well, Maud, in the course of a few weeks, and it may be sooner, I shall embark on my journey.
Sir, must you go?
I must. You shall promise me not to mention this conversation to Monica Norris. Also, don't invite her to talk to you about Uncle Silas. I have reasons. Do you quite understand my conditions?
Yes, I do.
Yes, we will, Maud, you and I. We'll leave one proof on record, which, fairly read, will go far to answer the world.
That night, Mary and I were asleep.
What's that?
It's your father's room.
Mary! It's Mrs. Rusk! Come with me! Mrs. Rusk!
Mrs. Rusk!
Mrs. Rusk!
Mrs. Rusk! Mrs. Rusk!
Open the door!
Mrs. Rusk! Shove it!
Mary!
Yes, sis?
Help me! Oh. No! Oh. Again! Oh. Again! Oh. It won't budge!
Oh, Lord. Hey, what is it?
Oh, Princeton Dyke!
Come on, Mrs. Ross!
It's the master!
Oh. Mary, I cannot bear to think what has happened!
Let's go! Oh.
Now, Miss Maud, darling, you must go back again. It isn't no place for you.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yes. He's dead.
Maud.
He had a sudden seizure and fell across the door.
Poor Papa. Leave me alone with him for a moment.
Miss Maud.
Leave me. All of you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
When I sleep, the key is under my pillow. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
And when I am awake, it is always here, in my pocket.
It must be done. Oh, Father.
Always here, in my pocket.
Here. The key. Mrs. Rusk returned and laid him out. I bade my formal farewell.
It's not him, my dear. It's not him. He's not here.
We placed notices in both the county and London press. 3 days later, Dr. Briley arrived.
Please, sir, the young mistress, Miss Ruthin.
I hope, miss, you are pretty well.
As far as can, in the circumstances, be expected.
Quite. I have come in consequence of a solemn promise exacted by your father, for whom I cherished a warm esteem, being knit besides with him in spiritual bonds. It has been a shock to you, miss.
It has indeed, sir.
Your father said I was to receive a key from you which would open a cabinet where he placed his will.
This is the key.
I thank you.
And this is the cabinet.
We had better have the will read forthwith. Is there any gentleman, a relative, or man of business near here whom you would wish to be sent for?
No, none, thank you. I have confidence in you, sir.
And you may be sure, Miss Ruthin, your confidence shall not be disappointed. We should get Grimston. For though he was not employed about this will, he has been Mr. Ruthin's solicitor for a great many years. We must have Grimston. For as I am sure you know, though it's a short will, it is a very strange one. Your father read it out to you, eh?
No, sir.
Oh. But he told you as much as relates to you and your uncle, Mr. Silas Ruthin of Bartram Howe?
No, indeed, sir.
Ah. I wish he had. Mr. Silas Ruthin is a religious man?
Oh, very.
You've seen a good deal of him?
No, I never saw him.
Huh? Odder and odder. I suppose, Miss Ruthin, 1 o'clock tomorrow would be a good hour?
Yes, Dr. Briley, the notes will be sent. I would like my cousin Lady Knollys to attend with me whilst the will is being read. I trust there would be no objections?
None in the world. One thing you must believe, Miss Ruthin. In forming the provisions of the will, I was never consulted, although I expostulated against the particular, very unusual condition it contains when I heard it. I did so strenuously, but in vain. You will please believe this. Also, that I am your friend. Strenuously, but in vain.
1 o'clock the next day. Present, Miss Maud Ruthin, Lady Monica Knollys, Dr. Briley, and Mr. Grimston.
Mr. Grimston, you will please to read the will.
Thank you. It's a short will, very, considering. I, Austin Aylmer Ruthin, being of sound mind and perfect recollection, etc., 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 hereby bequeath all my estates real, chattels real, copyrights, leases, chattels, money, rights, interests, reversions, powers, plate, pictures and estates and whatsoever, to these 4 persons. Lord Ilbury, Mr. Penrose Cresswell of Cresswell, Sir William Aylmer, Bart, and Hans Emmanuel Briley, Doctor of Theology. To have and to hold, etc., etc., etc.
Is this correct?
4 trustees, madam. We take little but trouble, you'll see. Go on.
All the aforementioned to be held in trust by them for my daughter, Maud Aylmer Ruthin.
Oh.
Subject to a bequest of £15,000 to my brother, Silas Aylmer Ruthin. I also appoint Silas Aylmer Ruthin sole guardian of my daughter Maud, with full parental authority over her until she shall have reached the age of 21, up to which time she is to reside in his care at Bartram Howe. Signed and witnessed, etc., etc., etc.
Dr. Briley, pray, sir, is the reading concluded?
Concluded. Quite. Nothing more.
And to whom will the property belong in the case my little cousin here should die before she comes of age?
It would go to the heir at law and next of kin, would it not, Mr. Grimston?
That is so.
And who is that?
Why, her uncle, Mr. Silas Ruthin. He's both heir at law and next of kin.
Thank you.
Cousin Monica?
Yes, Maud?
You are dejected.
Yes, Maud.
Is it because of the will?
Don't ask her to talk to you about Uncle Silas. I have reasons.
I wish you to tell me more about Uncle Silas.
Thank you. In Part 1 of Uncle Silas by Sheridan Lefanu, Maud was played by Teresa Gallagher and Austin by Graham Crowden. Madame de la Rougière, Dorothy Tutin, Lady Monica Knollys, Joan Sims, Mary Quince, Kathleen Byron, Mrs. Rusk, Tessa Worsley, Dr. Brierley, John Hartley, Dudley, Jonathan Keeble, Tom Bryce, Roger May, Mr. Grimston, Geoffrey Whitehead, the Rough Fellow, Stephen Critchlow. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The pianist was Michael Haslam. Uncle Silas was dramatized for radio by Alan Drury and directed by Enid Williams.